ومنكري فداء إليهم الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين ما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For the hastening of the return of our 12th Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, one loud salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This evening we continue on in our review that we've been going over for the last about 11 sessions now, about the topic of knowing the Imam of our time, knowing our 12th Imam, Imam al-Hujjah. May Allah hasten his return. And as we've been mentioning from the beginning, I would just repeat the fact that knowing the Imam of our time is one, without a doubt, one of the most important responsibilities that we have as believers, meaning that we can be engaged in prayers, we can fast, we can commemorate the tragedy of Karbala, we can do all of these things which are a part and parcel of our teachings of Islam. However, as Rasulullah has told the entire Muslim Ummah, that were a believer to die and they did not know the Imam of their age, have the ma'rifat of the Imam of their time, that they die the death of Jahiliyyah, that is, those who were pre-Islam, those who rejected the Messenger of Allah when he brought this religion of Islam to us. And so it becomes very important for us, it becomes one of the most important responsibilities that we have to know and recognize our 12th Imam. And as scholars tell us, that knowledge of the Imam does not just mean that we know his name, because even a 2-year-old child can learn the name of the Imam. It doesn't just mean that we know where the place of birth of the Imam. Children know where the 12th Imam was born. It's not enough to just know the name of the mother and father, birth date, and these incidental characteristics of our 12th Imam, because the youngest of children would know these things, but that would not help them to know the responsibility to the 12th Imam. And so therefore, when our scholars elaborate on this tradition that we have to have a ma'rifat, a deep knowledge of the 12th Imam, it means that we know not only about the Imam himself, but what are the signs of the return of the Imam? What are the precursors that will happen in the world and in our societies before the advent of the 12th Imam? And more than all of this, also one of the responsibilities that we have, or the way to know the Imam, is to know what our responsibilities are to the 12th Imam. And when we know our responsibilities, then we're able to fulfill those, hopefully, to actually pave the groundwork for the return of Imam al-Hujjah. As we've been mentioning, that there are two books that we've been referring to, which are on the screen, that we've been using in this discussion. One is, and these are both available in English online on alislam.org that you can download for free. The first is Mikyalul Makarim Fi Fawaid Ad-Dua Lil Qa'im, which is a collection of, it's a 2-volume book, which has hundreds of responsibilities that we have towards our 12th Imam. You'll see when you read this book that they're not all directly related to doing something to the 12th Imam. Many times they are responsibilities that we owe each other in a community that will help pave the return of our 12th Imam. The second book is called The Last Luminary and Ways to Delve into the Light, which is basically a summary of the first book. It's a smaller book at about 300 pages, 99 chapters, 80 responsibilities that we have to the 12th Imam. And that one basically goes into more of a practical application of these responsibilities that we owe during the ghaybat of our 12th Imam. This evening, I'm just going to look at one particular responsibility, and this is a build-up from our last week's discussion. So last week, we looked at two responsibilities that the believers have, which were in relation to the scholars of the faith, to recognizing the ulama, the scholars, the maraja, the mujtahideen, who serve during the occultation of our 12th Imam. And that video is online for those who wish to refer to those responsibilities. But we mentioned the fact in the second tradition from last week that even the concept of taqlid that we have, that we teach our children, that we follow a mujtahid. If we ourselves are not mujtahideen and we have not reached to the level of practicing ihtiyat or precaution, that then we follow a marja. And we quoted the hadith from the 11th Imam, the very famous hadith, where he talks about some of the characteristics of the maraja. And he gave us about 4 or 5 qualities. He said it was somebody who, for example, he said that sa'inan li nafsihi hafidan li dinihi muti'an li amri mawlah, somebody who protects his soul, follows the ordinances of his master, goes against his desires, his passions. The 11th Imam says, falil awam an yuqallidu. The masses can follow these individuals, can take from their research, their analysis, and put those rulings into their day-to-day life. And the 11th Imam made a very clear indication at the end of the hadith. He told us that these traits do not lie in all of the Shia fuqaha. He says this is only for some of the scholars. Because you will see that people today, as people in the past, as people in the future, will claim to be mujtahideen. They'll claim to be maraja taqlid. They may look like a marja, they may dress, they may speak like a marja, but they are nothing but corruption in the clothing of a religious scholar. And so the Imam was clear that he showed us the qualities, characteristics to look for. And we know as believers, although not a part of my topic, but I'll mention it, that even when we want to begin to perform taqlid, our children become baligh, they want to begin to follow a marja, you can't just Google a marja. You need to find a scholar who is a marja, who claims marjaiyat, but at least two other scholars need to verify their ijtihad. And if two scholars verify it, but two other scholars come and they dispute that scholar's level of ijtihad or marja'iyat, then you need to obviously do further research and investigation. Because as I said, not everybody who claims to be a marja is a marja. And so we have to be careful that we are ourselves choosing, and when our children become of age, we equip them with the knowledge necessary for them to determine who the most knowledgeable is, so that they can also follow their responsibilities based on the appropriate marja taqlid. Tonight I want to look at the topic of rejecting the imposters. Rejecting people that claim any sort of authority on behalf of the 12th Imam in the major occultation. Now we know that when the 12th Imam, when he was born in the year 255 in Samarra, that he was alive for a portion of, he was there with his father for a portion of time. When his father passes away, we have this issue of the minor occultation, the Ghaybat al-Sughra. We know that that goes from about, from that time until the year about 323. So about 60 years, the Imam is in a minor occultation. In the minor occultation, one of the unique characteristics was the Imam was in direct contact with four representatives. The Imam had four representatives, Nawabul Khas. There are specific named individuals in the hadith that the Imam had appointed to be his intermediary, his representative amongst the people. And they were coming one after the other. So one was appointed. Before he passed away, the 12th Imam appointed somebody else. It was known amongst the Shias who this person was. As he was about to pass away, the third was put into place. And before the third one passed away, the fourth one was nominated. The fourth one, who was Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samiri, before he dies, the 12th Imam writes him a letter. And we have text of that letter. The hadith talk and give us the actual writing of what the 12th Imam wrote. But the 12th Imam, and that's what I want to share tonight, but just to give you the preamble, that the Imam was very clear. And he says that after you die, after this fourth representative leaves this world, there will be no more representation. The gate of representation of the Imam will shut. The major occultation, the Ghaybat al-Kubra, will begin, which started at 323 Hijri, continues till today. It will continue till Allah determines when he wants the 12th Imam to make his dhuhr. The 12th Imam was clear though that in this period of time that we live in today, there is no official representation. So even today people say this marja is a vakil or a naib of the 12th Imam. No, he's not. He is a general representative, meaning that he doesn't have specific duties given to him by the Imam. When people say that he is a naib of the Imam, it is used in a very general, very common sense. It's not used in a specific meaning of a representative. People sometimes say, and I've heard, people have asked me, does Ayatollah whoever, he must talk to the 12th Imam, he must meet the 12th Imam. Maybe, But we can't claim, and nobody has a right to claim in the ghaybat, that anybody ever meets the 12th imam. And we'll see this in the hadith, that the imam is very blunt about this. And it's very clear when we think about it, that nobody alive today, from the greatest of maraja to any religious leader in the world, has any right to claim to be a representative of the 12th imam. In fact, the hadith tell us, if somebody says that to you, call them a liar to their face. Because this can lead to further confusion and corruption in the community. Today, some charlatan will come, some Maulana will come and say, I saw the 12th imam in my dream, and he told me to tell you to do this, this, and this. He told me to tell you to give me this amount of money, or something bad will happen in your life. We have to steer clear of such thoughts, of such people. And they come on the minbar, and they'll say they've seen dreams, and they've read this, and they've heard that. And this dream came to this scholar, and this dream came to this individual. Islam is not a religion of dreams. Islam is a religion of reality. Yes, maraja have dreams. Maybe our maraja meet the 12th imam. We don't know. But rest assured, if any of our maraja meet the 12th imam, they're not going to tell you or I about it. They won't tell their children. They won't write a book about it. They won't tweet it on Twitter. They won't Snapchat about it. And so we have to be aware of this, that there are imposters even till today. In Iraq, in Karbala today, there are people who claim to be the son of the 12th imam. And he leads Jummah namaz, and he has thousands of followers, and he has a website in multi languages, and he's raising his own popularity. And there's many people like this around the world. So what does the 12th imam directly tell us? He says in this hadith, and this is basically a letter that was written to the fourth representative that one of the companions was privy to. And the letter says the following. He says that I was in the city of peace, meaning Baghdad, Madinat al-Salam, as Baghdad used to be known, in the year in which Sheikh Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari, the fourth naib of our 12th imam, passed away. And the companion says, I was with him for a few days before he left this world. At that time, he brought out a piece of paper with some writing on it. And now this writing, what we're going to read the translation of, this is the translation of the actual words of our 12th imam, that he wrote to his fourth deputy, and what he basically wanted us to know about what would happen after this major ghaybat begins. And the 12th imam said the following. He starts off, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. He says, O Ali, the son of Muhammad al-Samari, may Allah grant you, may Allah grant your brothers a grand reward concerning you, since you're going to die soon. And between you and death, only 6 days remain. So the imam was telling him that you're going to die in 6 days. Get ready for it. He says, thus gather your affairs, and do not appoint anyone to be in your place as my representative after your death, for the time of the second occultation is here, and there will be no advent, no zuhur, until after the permission of Allah, the Noble and Majestic. So here even, you know, let me pause for a moment and just say this one point, that there have been accusations against the Shias, against the 12th Imam, against our ideology, that this whole period of ghaybat, the minor and major occultations, were made up later on by the ulama to try and rationalize where the 12th imam is. We have multiple hadith going back from the earlier imams where they talked about the imam, the 12th imam who would come, he would have a minor occultation and a major occultation. And the 12th imam here in this letter, he is clearly telling his fourth representative and all of us that there will be a second occultation. So he himself was cognizant of the fact that he's in a form of occultation. He was kept away from the sight of the majority of people for that 63-62 year period. But that he would be going into a much longer length, that he would be not be able to have direct connection with the Shias when we wanted it to happen. The 12th Imam then continues on and says that this will be after a long period has passed. Meaning, when will that return happen? He says that return will happen after a long period of time has passed. after the hearts have become hardened and the earth has become full of corruption. Right? This is something that we have seen in the hadith many times, that we're told that the zuhur of the imam will take place when there is corruption on the earth. And as the hadith says, that he will return, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْتًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا, that he will return and fill the earth with equity and justice, just as it would have been filled with inequality, with inequity and oppression. So the 12th Imam again is confirming that his return, it's going to be a long ways off. We don't know when. He doesn't know when. He has no idea when he himself will be allowed to become manifest. But he says that the hearts will become hardened in that time, and the earth would become full of corruption. And then he says, there will come from my Shia. So he's confirming the fact that people from his community will come forth and who will claim to have seen me in the period of the major occultation. Certainly, he says, the person who claims to have seen me before the appearance of a Sufyani, and we talked about Sufyani in our second or third discussion about 3 months ago, he says, whoever claims to have seen me before the Sufyani arises, before the call, there will be a sound that will come from Angel Jibra'il heard around the world in everybody's own native language. The Imam says that that person is a liar and a fabricator. So again, the Imam is showing us very clearly that anybody who claims to see him, to have spoken to him, many people here in this room tonight may have seen the 12th Imam in a dream. And I would not discount if you see the Imam in your dream. Because we have hadith that tells us if you see Rasulullah, if you see the Ahlul Bayt, if you see any of the Imams in your dream, know that that is a real dream, because shaitan cannot come in the form of the awliya of Allah. So maybe somebody here, maybe one of you have seen one of the 14 Masumeen. I wouldn't doubt that. But the point is that we don't talk about that in the open. We don't brag about it. We don't base our life, if the Imam said into a dream, said in our dream, you go doing this and that. We don't have to necessarily believe that. And we definitely don't go and tell people that we saw these things. And then the Imam ends and says that there is no power or strength save with Allah the Most High, the Most Majestic. And so let me just conclude with this in summary, and to conclude that within the time of the ghaiba that we're currently in, it becomes a desire for humanity, not just you and I as Muslims, not just the followers of Ahlul Bayt. All of humanity is waiting for that Redeemer. You know, you'll recall when 1999 came, the year 1999, and we were in the latter half of that year, July, August, September, right before the year 2000 began, what was happening in the world? You had many Christian organizations saying the world is going to end in the year 2000. Sell your homes, quit your jobs, spend your money, enjoy your life. And you can watch documentaries that are available on the internet where people were literally waiting in New York City, in Manhattan, in Times Square, for 11:59 and 59 to come, so that when midnight would strike and the year 2000 would roll around, rapture would happen, they would be taken up into heaven in a spaceship, they would meet Jesus, and the world would end. Guess what? We're still here 17 years later. The problem is they believed somebody who led them down the wrong path. Those were Christians. But you know what? We can't discount them and say, oh, they're like this and that. No, they had iman. They had yaqeen in this person. It was a misguided yaqeen, but it was yaqeen. And Muslims, unfortunately, maybe Shias have that same level of yaqeen. Somebody will come. Some Mawlana will come and say, I'm the Naib of the 12th Imam. Follow me. The world will end. Give me your money. Give me your bayat. Give me your allegiance. And if we don't know all of these signs, like the 12th Imam said, Sufyani has to be there, the call from the sky has to be there, Nafs al-Zakiyah has to be killed, the war has to happen, armies have to be sunk between Mecca and Medina. There are 5 major signs. If those don't happen, and somebody says, I'm the 12th Imam, I'm here to redeem you, give me your allegiance, give me your money, give me your life, we need to realize that that person is not who they claim to be. And if we don't study these signs, if we don't read the books, If we don't analyze what the hadith tell us from our imams of the Ahlul Bayt and of Rasulullah, then we risk falling into that trap, just like those Christians were deceived by their spiritual leader. And just like many people after them have also been deceived, even till today, that they think somebody is the representative of the 12th Imam. They call him Naib Imam. He's a Naib. No, he's not a Naib. We have to get away from emotional discourse and be logical and think and understand our religion. And if we don't, then we risk falling into these traps that previous communities, individuals, nations have fallen. And ultimately, we risk, as the Prophet said in the hadith, "Man mata wa lam ya'rif imam al-zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliya." If you die and you do not know the imam of your time, for us, we know that is Imam al-Hujjah, the 12th imam. If we don't know him, the signs, what will happen, then we risk dying the death of those who rejected Rasulullah. And God help us if we get to that level where we don't know our imam, and we allow people to use our faith and to lead us towards an akhirat which would not be in our advantage. We conclude and we ask Allah, as we continue in this series of knowing our 12th imam and our responsibilities, that we are able to learn more about our 12th imam. We ask Allah for the ability to be able to devote time once a week at least to study and to reflect on the traditions about Imam al-Hujjah. We ask Allah to allow us to increase in our faith, in our knowledge, in our practice, such that when the 12th Imam's advent does take place, and if we are alive, that we ask Allah to allow us to be alongside our 12th Imam. We ask Allah that if we have left this world by that time, if we have parted from this world, that Allah brings us back up alive from our graves, such that we can be there to help and assist our 12th Imam. As we conclude, let us recite one surah Fatiha for all of the marhumin, from our family, our community, our friends, the ulama, the shuhada. As we know, we've lost a member of our Shia community today, Sayyid Nayyar Raza Rizvi, and inshallah the ghusl will be given tonight, and the burial will take place, I believe, on Thursday. For his thawab, let us recite a surah Fatiha and ask Allah to give him the greatest level of thawab, that we can all make dua for him. And let us ask Allah to grant his family and his friends and all of those who have felt the loss of this individual the sabr to bear this untold loss within their family. Let us ask Allah through a surah Mubarakah al-Fatiha. But before that, one salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.